Hey girlfriends, welcome back to the podcast. For my viewers on YouTube, you can clearly see that we are in a completely different setting. And that's because the Practically Sisters podcast is currently on tour. We're actually in New Orleans, which I know it's a very random place in America to be, isn't it? I've been to New York before, but never down south. And honestly, I'm loving it in New Orleans. Like, I really am falling in love with this place. We're actually currently here with Benefit. You can see all of Benefit's products behind me. And I was contemplating, right? I was like, I should clean up my background before I record this. But you know what, guys? If you could see what was in front of me right now, you would just feel so normal, because the mess that I make when I get ready or when I'm in a hotel room, I make so much mess and I won't clean it up until I leave. And it was actually kind of the same when I was in the UK back home, and my parents were literally like, you should be embarrassed by the state of your room. Like, how do you keep your home tidy? Like, you're genuinely lying to us. But anyway, we're in New Orleans and I'm bringing you guys along with me here because I thought, why not switch it up a little bit? And it's quite relevant for something that I wanted to touch on with you guys in this week's podcast. And that is my job. And what is my job, right? It's so funny because I put on my story on my Instagram, like, ask me any questions you have about my job. And people were like, what is your job? And I'm like, okay, no, you know what? Fair enough, because what is my job? So I guess that's the best place to start with this, right? In essence, the way that I put what my job is, it's not that I influence people. Like, if we get to the nitty gritty of what my job is, I produce content and brands will pay me to produce and post that content. So obviously, you can make money from making content as somebody who isn't posting the content. Oh, sorry, I've got like a hair on my face. So you can like make content for a brand and they will post it on their platform and you'll get paid for just producing that content. So I get paid for producing it and also posting it. And it's a very weird way that I fell into this. And I felt like now that we understand what it is exactly that I do, it would be relevant for us to kind of touch on my journey. How did I even get into this thing? Was it something that I always wanted to do? And if we're going to do this, we have to go back to just when COVID started. Also, I'm so sorry. I have this chicken claw hand situation going on whilst gripping this mic. And that's because this wire keeps falling out and I just can't have that happening. And imagine like not realizing halfway through that my podcast isn't even being recorded, which has happened to me before. So yeah, we're going to have to go all the way back to COVID. This was the time that I was just finishing my bachelor's degree, and I had a few questions about this as well. I think I've talked about it previously, but I mentioned it again because it's quite relevant for this podcast. I did my bachelor's in biomedical science and I was in my third year doing my last exams, because I remember my last exams being like assignments because it was COVID and we couldn't go in and actually sit these exams. And it gave me a lot of time to reflect. And I feel like a lot of people could relate to that during the period of COVID. It was a really big time of reflection for us all. And I sat down kind of with myself and I asked myself, like, am I truly happy with what I'm doing? Do I feel excited for the future? Like, honestly, like, if you ask me, what am I going to do in the next 5 years? I could not tell you guys. I didn't know what my life was going to look like. I didn't know what role I was going to be in, what job I was going to be doing. Essentially, like, I knew I would end up going to work in a lab and I enjoyed the lab work, hence why I did lab work. But did it like excite me and make me feel like, wow, I can't wait to get up and go to the lab? Absolutely not. And I kind of felt really sad about that. I'll be honest with you guys. Like, I have always been really aspirational. Like, I've always been an overachiever, been really aspirational. But when it came to being excited about life, I never had that kind of thrill or like that one, or just like feeling really excited about my future. Like, I was just kind of like, this is what I'm going to do. Like, kind of like how you go to university because you're told to go to university. I'm going to go to university. I'll end up getting married. I'll have kids and I will live this life, right? This life that is what I'm expecting to live. But I remember these times I was seeing a lot of content creators, and content creation was very different back just before COVID. Like, it really changed a lot afterwards. And I was watching like all these Instagram makeup videos and nobody used to talk on any of the platforms before TikTok happened. But I was just like, you know what? I would love to have a small following. Like, I didn't even, like, I never thought that I was going to make it my full-time job. I never thought that I was going to actually post makeup videos. But I just wanted, like, 20K followers just so I could be like, you know, like, share my day with them. Like, I really enjoyed having a community more than anything. And I was like, let me get into it. Like, why not? Let me get into it. So I actually started off on Instagram. Me and Roger, my friend, we were posting these like outfit pictures, and we'd get dressed up because this during COVID, we used to live together. We would get dressed up and we would go out, take some pictures, edit the pictures and post them up. And by the way, guys, these pictures were so face-tuned and so edited. And I honestly, when I see them now, I'm like, what were we actually thinking? Like, how did we think this was acceptable and postable? I don't know. But we had a lot of fun doing it. And she actually wanted to start like influencing, quote unquote, with me as well. So we were like, let's do this thing together. And I guess having each other gave us a lot of confidence to put ourselves out there, because the thing was, it was easy to start like posting outfit pictures because all the people that I had had on Instagram that like throughout my life, like people I went to high school with, college with, and all this kind of, and university with, like it was okay because like there's nothing weird about posting outfit pictures. Maybe I just like, I was getting into Instagram, you know? Oh, because by the way, guys, I was posting like once a year on Instagram. Like I was not a person that was really present on social media. So getting even like posting more for me was like a big step, but it didn't feel like something that people are going to be like, whoa, what is she doing? This is weird. Like, is she trying to be famous? That actually came when I started posting makeup videos. I feel like when you post makeup videos, it's kind of different to posting lifestyle content or fashion content, because it's kind of like, who are you to teach me how to do makeup? Does that make sense? Like, what are you really trying to do here? Like, you really think you're so good at makeup that you're going to sit here and give me a tutorial on it? And by the way, my makeup was atrocious during these times. It wasn't even really about makeup for me when I got into this world. It was more, like I said, about having a community. But I really, really enjoyed makeup. And I remember asking Roger, and I was like, do you ever think we'll post makeup videos? And she was like, no, we will never do that. So I took the leap, but I still couldn't do it with full confidence. I made a TikTok account and I didn't have anybody on there that I knew. Like, this was just a TikTok account that only random people in the world were going to discover me through the For You page. And I started posting makeup videos there and like getting used to what like actually creating content was like. It's so different to make makeup content and make video content than it is to make picture format content. So yeah, I started posting, I'm building up the confidence, and I'm like, you know what? Screw this. I'm going to just post on my Instagram. I don't care if people see me. It was a very like defining moment for me to be like, I'm going to let all these people that have known me throughout my life know that I want to do this thing. And it is a very scary thing to do because you feel like, am I going to be judged? When you haven't made it, that's the hardest part, because once you make it, obviously everyone's like, wow, like she's doing amazing. This is incredible. Go her. But when you're on the come up, and you've got nothing to show for it, it's just you and like your dreams. And that can be a very scary thing to be vulnerable with, because here you are showing these people that this is something that you want to obviously really do, but you're not doing it yet. So it is quite a scary thing to do, but I knew that I had to do it if I wanted to really commit to this and make a leap for this. Before I started this, I've mentioned this before, but I made this big vision board, and this vision board was like of everything that I wanted for the next 10 years. So imagine, like I said before, guys, I had never envisioned what my life was going to look like in the next 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. So this was the first time that I sat down and asked myself like, okay, but like, what is your like actual dream? Like, what do you really want to do here? That really changed a lot for me, because it really opened my eyes up to kind of dreaming a little bit. I never used to be a dreamer, but here I was being a dreamer, and I'm now pursuing this thing that like, am I even going to be able to pursue this thing? Like, is this even going to happen for me? I'm just about finishing my bachelor's. It's got nothing to do with my degree. It's very strange, because a lot of course I've met a lot of influencers, and almost everybody in the makeup influencing industry had some kind of passion or relation to makeup prior to it, whereas I kind of just fell into this. I fell in love with makeup as I was making makeup content. It's not that I was already in love with makeup, hence that I made makeup content, if that makes sense. So it was a very like weird way for me to get around to doing this. And it was quite later on in my life. Like a lot of people in the industry have been doing this since they were like 16, some even younger. But I was like 21 when I started, which is actually quite late. But they, like, it goes to show that you can always start, even if you feel like you're too late to the hype of everything. So here I am, I'm posting content, I'm definitely getting better at it, I'm learning how to edit, I'm doing all of this, and I'm posting every single day, guys. I am committing to it, and it was really easy when I finished my master's, and it was the summer of COVID, where literally doing nothing, like all I have is time to post and make content. So I'm posting. It comes around to my birthday, like on my exact birthday. I've mentioned this before, this story, but I really wanted to hit 10K followers before by my birthday. Didn't happen, but my first ever video went viral on Instagram on my birthday. And every single day after that, my videos went viral. And I hit 100,000 followers in 3 months on Instagram, which was insane. So here I was, practically a nobody in a sense. And suddenly I have 100,000 followers on a platform. Like, what? You guys don't understand, like, the rate that I was growing, it was like the most surreal experience for me. Here are like people that I'm like watching and like striving to be like that are now following me and like talking to me, and they're trying to get like, they want to watch me because I'm like this up and coming person that's like growing like an incredible amount. And the whole thing was very surreal. And I even remember, this is so like, so moist, but there was like a time when I think I hit like 30K followers, and this happened within like a few weeks. I went out onto the balcony of my room and I just looked out and I was like, oh my God, like this is it. Like my life is going to change. I'm going to make it. Like this feels different. Like this feels like something is actually happening for me. Like it's happening for me, to me. And it felt incredible and scary. And it, for the first time, like, I didn't know what I was capable of, if that makes sense. Like the sky felt like it was the limit in that moment. But I think definitely the turning point for me was when I realized that this could be my full-time job. And yes, guys, this is my full-time job. You can make 100% a full-time living doing this job. I remember, so once I hit 100,000 followers, I reached out to my dream agency, and this agency had like all the girls that I was like really looking up to. And I was like, this is the place to be. So I emailed them and I was like, hey, like, here's my Instagram and here's my TikTok, and I would really love to be part of your agency. And your agency is basically like, you will sign with a management agency, or it could be just like a manager, but most times it's an agency that has managers employed, and they will look after you, they will do a lot of outreach for you, they will reach out to brands, they'll handle your emails and negotiate your fees and stuff like that, handle contracts. And I really wanted to get into the big leagues. I wanted to be somebody in the industry, like make my mark. And I knew that I needed a vehicle to get me there, people that had connections and, you know, could get me, teach me the ropes as well, I guess, because I really didn't even understand how, well, I didn't think it could be my job, right? So anyway, I reach out to them and they give me a call, and I'm speaking to the lady that owns the agency, and she was like telling me like, you know, like this could be your full-time job. And when she said like how much I could make and how that could be, like the number that she told me was a number that was higher than what I would have had I got a job just out of uni. So I was like, wow, like, so I could literally make more money than I would after getting a postgraduate job is insane. Like that is actually insane. So that's the moment that I really felt like I'm, that it wasn't just fun and games here. Like I was really going to change my life. And that was like a crazy moment for me. And I felt like the ground was like shaking beneath me. Like my heart was thumping out of my chest. And I was like, oh my God, like this is like, what the hell? Like I've just been told something that is life changing here. And that was the moment that I really was like, okay, I need to be serious and I need to commit to this. I need to make this happen because I really want it badly. And I really committed to it. So unfortunately for me, I started my master's just as I started to go viral. So my birthday's in September and the term starts in September. So just as I started my master's, I'd committed to it. I start going viral, suddenly this is now my full-time job, and I'm also in full-time employment doing a master's, which was very, very difficult. I did my master's in clinical immunology. So here I am juggling these two things. I'm in half the days in labs. Actually, no, that's a lie. No, that isn't a lie. No, I did. Yeah, I was in labs. Half the time I'm in labs, half the time I'm doing assignments and I'm doing like makeup content. I remember I would switch out like 3 days a week, I would do makeup, and then the rest of the days I would do assignments and like study, and like it was like a complete switch. Or sometimes I would just like switch them every day. And I remember like when I was doing my assignments, I'd be like, oh, I can't wait to just do some makeup tomorrow. And then the next day I'd be like, do my makeup, like, oh, I can't wait to just do an assignment tomorrow, because I would just get so tired of doing both these responsibilities. But I pushed for myself so hard. I overworked myself so hard. I always say this to people. You need 1 year of just working like a dog. And I'm sorry, and I don't want to push hustle culture, but trust me, guys, 1 year of pushing yourself to the max. And you know what? Maybe you won't be the happiest. Is it toxic for me to say this? Potentially. It's probably wrong for me to say this, but it's what changed my life, so I stand by it. You don't need to be the happiest and like the most comfortable in the year of your life that you work your hardest. I think a lot of times people try to like you can have a balance between comfort and working hard and get to your destination, but you'll get there much faster if you just give it like 100,000,000% of yourself, which is what I did. I wouldn't take any days off. There was no such thing as a day off for me. I was either creating content or I was doing an assignment. These were my two options. And it definitely took a toll on me. But honestly, guys, the way that I would look after myself was probably the best that I've ever looked after myself. I would wake up and do like affirmations and meditate. And I was just in such a good place because I knew that I needed to make sure my mental health was good if I wanted to work as hard as I was working during that time. But that definitely really propelled me into my career. And within the year, I had first of all got a first class in my master's. Just want to put that out there, because it's not like I half-assed it. I actually did incredible. But I also had built myself up to being able to, with confidence, say that this can now be my full-time job, and I'm not going to have the security of education like on my back to make me feel like it's okay that I'm like messing around and making content. Does that make sense? Like, I'm just gonna jump into this thing and I know that I'm going to be okay, and I'm gonna like make something of myself here. So that was a really important year for me to prove to myself that I can show up for myself and I can make my dreams happen. And it was the hardest year of my life, without a doubt. And right here, right now, I am reaping the rewards of the hard work that I put in that year. And I live somewhat of a soft girl life now because I put in all that work before. And that's why I say, if you just have 1 year of working so, so hard, it's just going to take you so much further in life so quickly. Okay, anyway, after this year, here I am. I'm now doing influencing full time, but I guess I still hadn't really I made myself clear in the industry, like, hey, like, I'm somebody to come and like work with and stuff. But did I really was I like one of the best? Probably not. And that's when that year I was like, okay, for me, this year is all about, again, pushing myself to the max. I can now dive 100% deep into just creating content. And I put in a lot of effort and a lot of work to figure out what would work the best for me, how to go viral, etc. And I really built up the numbers in that year, gained the millions on TikTok. And that was like another really like life-changing thing for me. I never in my life thought I would ever reach 1 million followers on anywhere. Honestly, like every time that I would grow more and more, it was like a really surreal experience to be like, wow, like I never thought I would reach this. And then you reach more, and you're like, well, I never really thought I would reach this. And you keep reaching for more and more, and you keep like hitting these targets, which is crazy. But again, it just goes to show that the sky is the limit, and the amount of work you put in, it really does show, guys. It does show. And I don't want to toot my own horn, but I am going to give myself my flowers when I say this. When I started off in the industry, there had been people that had been doing this for a minute, guys, a minute. And here I was 2 years into the game and I am killing it. I'm killing it. And that's because I worked so hard. I would go to these events and every, like, all these influencers would be like, how do you do it? Like, the amount of your work rate is insane. And my work rate was insane. Is my work rate the same now? Absolutely not. I have fallen off compared to how much I used to do. I was a machine, guys. I was really doing it. But I knew that I needed to really place myself in this industry as a big player, as somebody that's like, you know, you're coming to me for work. You're not coming to just like come to the agency and give them work. Like, you're coming to me. And I built a lot of relationships with brands and really put myself in some incredible experiences. Started going on brand trips. I was on TV adverts. I was in stores. So crazy. It was such a surreal thing for me. And I think I truly felt like I had made it for the first time. I could kind of like sit back and be like, you know what, Helene, like, you've actually like, I think you've done it now. Like, you're good. Like, now you can definitely strive for more, but you have made it in your industry. Like, you can say that and you can relax a little bit and chill out. And I definitely felt like that once I had my wedding and I came back. As you guys probably have heard me say like a million times by now, I had the biggest burnout of my life. I was so burnt out. And I guess in a way I was kind of like, well, I've reached like all the things that I've worked with brands that I've wanted to work with. I made a good amount of money that year. I had like gained lots of followers. I reached the millions that year. And like, what's next? What's the next thing for me to do? Like, what? I just missed feeling that hunger because I was so hungry for it, which is why I worked so hard. Like, I got really complacent, I guess. And that's why I'm really, really happy to be doing this podcast, because even though this podcast is very out of my comfort zone, guys, I'm not going to lie to you. Have I contemplated a few times whether I should keep doing it? Yes. I am going to keep showing up for you though. And please let me know in the comments now that you do really enjoy this podcast, because sometimes I like get in my head about it and I'm like, do they really want to listen to this podcast? Like, is this actually something that people want to hear? So please do let me know. I think I really need the reassurance this time. And then also, guys, if you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe, leave a little thumbs up. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple, please leave 5 stars, because this is a 5-star podcast. So I would really appreciate it. If you don't want to leave 5 stars, it's okay, but I will be sad. Oh yeah, so I got really complacent and I had to, again, bring myself to another vision board. I made my vision board for this year and I asked myself, what is the next step then? Like, what's the next thing that you want to do? And here we are today, guys. So that's kind of a rundown of how I got to where I was. And I'll be honest with you guys, it was one of the hardest things I've ever done in my whole entire life. Was it easy? Absolutely not. There were so many moments that I almost quit. There was a point that I almost deleted all my social media, and I was doing good. I was like on 100K followers on Instagram. I was like popping off on TikTok, and I was going to delete it. And we'll get into why. So as you guys know, I am Kurdish. I'm a Kurdish woman. And for me to be doing what I'm doing, guys, is a really big deal, to be honest. Like, this doesn't really happen for us. There's not many people that do it the way that I do it. And especially coming from a small town, Duhok. Like, I'm from Duhok. I'm not from Slemani or Hewlett, which are like very big cities in Kurdistan. I'm kind of like from a place that's a little bit more traditional. They still like upkeep their values. Kind of like villagey vibes, but it's not a village. Duhok is not a village, but compared to the other ones, it's not as modern and Western minded, I would say. So for me to be doing what I'm doing was a really big deal. And I'll be honest, guys, when I started doing this, I didn't tell my dad. So I told my mom about it, right? Because I needed to make sure that what I was doing was like it was okay. And like, I'm not in my head about the fact that like, I know what I'm doing is all right. Like, I'm not doing anything that is wrong here. But my dad is he comes from a very traditional family, and I knew he was going to have a really hard time with it, because I knew he was not going to be able to understand what my job was. Because to anybody in Kurdistan, if you're posting pictures of yourself or putting yourself out there in social media, then like, you're just like, I don't know how to put it in a nice way, but like, why do you want attention? Do you know what I mean? Like, why are you dying for attention? Like, what is this about? Like, why don't you just go get like a respectful job? Like, this isn't a respectful job, right? So I knew he was going to have a hard time with this. I didn't tell him. And he ended up finding out about my Instagram. And these times I had like 80,000 followers, maybe something like that. And he was like, what's going on, what is this, like, what are you talking about, like, he was so shocked that I had that many followers, and he was very confused about the whole thing, and he had a really hard time with it. We had a few arguments, not gonna lie to you guys. We had some tough conversations. There was a period that, like, we just, like, took some space, because I was living out at this time, and we weren't really speaking to each other. And he would sit me down and be like, look, like, the thing is, guys, how my dad reacted is 100% valid. And let's get into why. Because imagine you've grown up in this society, in this culture, and you come from a family that's a very respectful family, and you immigrate to the UK. You're building something for yourself. You're going through a lot of hardship. You're working your ass off to provide for your family, to make sure that they can get a good education, to make something of themselves. And I was that child that was the overachiever. I'm getting the A's. I'm getting the A stars. I'm, like, applying for medical school. Like, I'm achieving a lot educationally. So here's your child that you've put, sacrificed so much for, right? And she's done amazing with education. And suddenly she's throwing it all away to post pictures of herself on social media. Like, what? What is wrong with you? And he really didn't even understand what influencing was. And there's people that live in America and in the UK that have no idea what influencing is. So how could my dad, coming from Kurdistan, ever really grasp the concept of it? And I was really afraid to really get into it with him, because I was just, you know, because my dad's approval means a lot to me. My mom and my dad's approval means so much to me. So it was kind of scary feeling like he wasn't going to be on board with things. And maybe I didn't do my best in trying to explain what it was a lot of times. But it was definitely a hard process. And there was a point that I was just going to delete my social media, because obviously, like, I didn't want to disappoint my dad. Does that make, like, you never want to be a disappointment to your parents. And maybe a part of me thought, like, okay, like, am I throwing my life away, like, for this thing that's fun to do, and I've got this degree? You know what? You go from telling people that your daughter's, like, studying to be a doctor to, like, what, she's now posting herself on social media. Like, is that really a flex? No, it's not really a flex, is it? Well, it wasn't a flex. It's a flex now. Let me tell you right now, my parents are very flexing about what I do. I'm gonna get this master's. You can tell people I've got a bachelor's, I've got a first class bachelor's, I've got a first class master's. You know, like, I'm educated. I could do it. I could go and do that if I want to do it. This is a choice. This is not my last resort. Like, this is my choice. And my dad used to say that to me. He's like, Helene, like, this is something that, like, girls do when they have no other option. He's like, you have, like, so many options. You're so smart. You're so educated. You strive for such greatness. Like, why are you doing this and making this life choice? And he was like, you're going to really regret this later on. And I think a part of him was also fearful that, like, nobody around us would understand it, because my dad could come to terms with it, but could people back home get to terms with it? Could, like, somebody that I'm potentially wanting to get married to come to terms with it? Like, he's thinking to himself, I know Kurdish men, and no Kurdish man is going to be okay with you putting yourself on social media like this, which I completely understand. This was, like, a whole new ballpark for my dad. But with a lot of time, alhamdulillah, 1,000 times, my dad could see that I was not just playing around. Like, I'm not just posting myself on social media for fun. Like, I'm, like, this is a career that could change my entire life, could change my children's lives. He was, like, in Boots or something, and he was gonna get something for, like, he was going to Kurdistan, he was gonna get something for his parents or something. And he heard these two girls, he overheard them saying, like, what's that makeup product that Helene uses? Like, I really want to use it, I need to get it. And he's thinking, oh my god, like, they're talking about Helene, like, what? And then he went home to go tell my mom this story. And on the TV, it cuts to an advert of me on, like, a Maybelline advert. And he was like, what? Like, what is going on? Is that her on the TV now? And my mom was like, well, if you want to see her in stores, go to Superdrug. Her face is there. And he was just so, I guess, really shocked and was thinking, like, wow, like, she's actually doing bits. And honestly, guys, I don't want to be doing this my entire life. Who says that I'm even going to, like, have the energy, or, like, how am I going to do this for my entire life? There has to be some kind of end goal, something that gets you out of the game, I guess, in a way, because there's only so long that people are going to be invested in your life as well, I feel like. Do you know what I mean? And this is kind of, like, the time for me to make something of myself, to propel myself for the next few years. I get a lot of DMs from girls being like, you're so inspirational to me because you did this thing
And like I would want to do this thing, but I feel a lot of pressure from family. And I always let them know, like, hey, don't ever think that I had an easy ride doing this. Like, my parents are just so, like, easygoing and open-minded and Western-minded. No, it was hard for me, and I fought for what I wanted. But that's what's important. Like, eventually, you know, people that love you will eventually appreciate what you're doing if you're doing it with grace and dignity. Because that's the thing, guys. I'm not out here, like, doing a madness. I do everything with dignity. My parents can hold their heads high, and I'm still doing what I want to do. As for the other people, who cares? Okay, we're going to quickly answer some questions that you guys had asked me. Do you ever get exhausted of being an influencer and just want to quit? Absolutely. You know what, guys? Let's actually touch onto this. So my first ever podcast, I was talking about how as women, we have a lot of roles, and, you know, I'm a full-time content creator. Like, I work full-time in this job, and at the same time, I'm like a full-time housewife. So I posted this clip onto TikTok, and my comments were flooded with men being like, you think that you work? You think that this is a job? Oh, I'm so sorry, you have to post on your Instagram. Oh, boo-hoo. Go and, like, look at women that, like, have real jobs. And I just want to clarify, guys, my job is a blessing. What a blessing. Alhamdulillah. Like, it is 100% not the hardest job in the world. Can it be difficult? Absolutely. Is it a full-time job? 1,000,000%. So much so that this job is 24/7. There is no breaks in this job. I don't have a day off. If I'm not creating content, I'm editing. If I'm not editing, I'm posting. If I'm not posting, I'm interacting. If I'm not interacting, I'm doing research on what's popping. Like, it's a full-time job. And I juggle so many things. I juggle vlogs, podcasts, Instagram pictures, makeup videos, and then ads, like, because all of that, because you have to understand, like, my work isn't just to create ads and post ads. I have to make organic content as well to stay relevant. Does that make sense? Like, it's you're doing organic things that you're not even being paid for. Most of my work that I do online is not paid. Does that make sense? I'm doing so much work just to stay relevant and keep you guys engaged and entertained. And that takes a lot of effort. And it is a job. When are we going to stop pretending that this is a job? Do you know what I mean? Like, are we not getting old of this? Like, this is a job. So, like, just because it's a job that I enjoy doesn't take away from it. You think that somebody that edits, like a professional editor, is a job, right? Somebody that takes photos is a professional photographer. Somebody that, like, just, like, there's so many things that people will class as a full-time job. I juggle all those things. I am the editor. I am the photographer. I am the strategist and the researcher. Like, I do all of those things, and I have all of these hats that I juggle. So yes, this is a full-time job, and yes, it is work, and it is hard. Is it a blessing? Absolutely. Not the hardest job in the world at all. I'm so blessed to do things on my own time. Because you're always in the public eye, do you ever get worried about evil eye? What an interesting question, guys. Because yes, absolutely, especially after I got married. Because my mom will tell me, like, Helene, you need to be careful. Like, she gets really worried, and she's like, I hear this from a lot of people, that I have the quote unquote dream life, right? I'm like married, I've moved to this beautiful place, and I like have this soft girl life. I go to Pilates and I do makeup, and right. So obviously, guys, let's preface this by saying nobody's life is a dream. I go through shit, people go through shit, everybody goes through shit. So don't ever think that I have this dream life. But people will say that, and it gets scary because you put yourself out there, and a lot of people aren't always coming from a good place. But all I can do is keep it real with you guys, and I show you guys the bad bits as well, because I don't want you to ever think like I live this perfect life. I have a very realistic life. So is it really all happiness and fun whenever you go on brand trips? Guys, brand trips are the most fun thing in the whole entire world, right? Obviously, they look like fun. They are so much fun, but they are also work. Here I am working on this brand trip. I actually have to like go in like 7 minutes to like start the day with the brand and everything. So there is a lot of work that goes into it. Obviously, you can come onto a brand trip and do like the bare minimum, but I'm vlogging this entire thing. I'm making TikToks, I'm taking pictures, I'm doing a podcast episode. Like, this is like a full work thing for me. And, you know, it does take a lot of effort to every day get up, because the itineraries are usually so full on that you wake up, you have to get ready again and make content during every step of the way and go and do all these things. And I was shattered at like 9 p.m. shattered, like take me to bed. Does Ahmed ever get sick and tired of what you do as an influencer? Ooh, the tea. You know what is, guys? When we got married, first of all, no, he supports me 100% of the way. Does it get annoying for him? Probably in moments. It gets annoying for anybody. It gets annoying for me. I remember, like, even when we were in Tokyo and Japan, I was vlogging the trip, right? I would ask him to take pictures of me and stuff, and I'm vlogging the whole time, and, like, he would get annoyed at me, and I would tell him, like, do you think I enjoy this? Do you think that I want to have to pull out my camera every 2 minutes and document this thing? And do you think I want to be wearing these uncomfortable shoes and walking around and doing, like, 10,000 steps a day just so that I can get a cute picture at one point? I don't enjoy this, but it's my job, and it's hard and it's difficult, but this is my job. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's my job. Like, what can I add? But there's obviously levels of respect to it. So, for example, once we got married, I didn't want my vlogs to be this thing where we're now like a couple's channel, or like my TikToks are like couples TikToks. Like, I am, like, my job is separate from his. So I try to not, like, get him involved too much in my vlogs and things like that, because he didn't sign up for his life now being 24/7 broadcasted. Does that make sense? Like, maybe I decided that, but he didn't. So I'm definitely considerate about things. So it's difficult, but it's my job. You married an influencer. What did you expect? Do you ever feel your confidence levels drop when haters comment on your content? You know what it is, guys? I used to be really, like, tough-skinned with this. I remember, like, so when I started off with influencing, I remember I got my first hate comment. It was about something about my lips on a makeup video. And I was so upset, and I was, like, texting Ahmed, and I was like, oh, like, I can't believe they said this. Like, my lips look so ugly. Like, what's wrong with me? And he literally was like, so don't do it. He's like, don't do this. No, he's like, I'm not putting up with this, because either you need to develop some thick skin, or you simply cannot get into this line of work, because you're going to get, like, things that are 1,000 times worse than this. And boy, was he right. So I developed very thick skin, especially when I got my nose job. Oh my God, guys, the hate that I was getting. I would get emails, I'd get DMs, paragraphs, people telling me that I should regret the decision that I made, and I looked so much uglier now, and, like, just saying the worst things in the world to me and telling me that I'm promoting surgery just because I kept it real and didn't want to hide the fact that I had surgery done and, like, push this false image of how I look to younger generations of girls. So yeah, I dealt with a lot of things, and then I think I've got really sensitive again lately. I don't know why, like, comments have been, like, kind of getting to me, and I'm like, what's happening to me? Like, I never used to be like this. I'm going to end this on, do you have any regrets about choosing this path? Absolutely not. There's not one single thing that I would change. I wouldn't do it any earlier. I wouldn't do it any later. I wouldn't do it any differently. Everything happens for a reason, guys. And even in those moments that you feel like the decisions that you've made, it's probably not the right decision you've made, as long as it's something that makes you happy and you know that you're doing it, like I said, with dignity, keep pushing, keep working, keep showing up. Consistency above everything will always get you to where you want to be. Work hard for your dreams and make sure that you do try and live your dream, because life is so short. Life is too short to be doing something that you don't want to do, or you're convincing yourself that it's something that you're meant to be doing. Like, life is too short, guys. Live your life and do what you love every single day. And it's true, like, honestly, like, my job can be so hard, it can be so exhausting, but because I love it with all my heart, I wouldn't change it for the world. So that's all the tea on my job. I hope this was, like, an interesting conversation for you guys, and I'm really late, so I need to put on my cute outfit and go off. We're actually here in New Orleans for Mardi Gras, which is, like, a carnival festival kind of situation. So we're going on, like, a little Mardi Gras, like, tour. We're learning about the history of everything. And then we're going to go eat some beignets, which are kind of like a donut situation. And then we have a masquerade ball tonight. So if you guys want to see, like, what I'm wearing and all that, you can go on my Instagram and my TikTok and stuff like that. Or watch the vlog as well, since you're here on YouTube. Anyway, if you're watching this, thank you guys so much for tuning in. Please let me know if you are enjoying this. I really do need the reassurance in this moment of time. Leave 5 stars where you can. Like, comment, subscribe. I love you guys millions. And let me know what you want the next episode to be about. Bye.